The holiday season for 2024 has begun, and we at Musings on Golf have plenty of special gifts for you starting today. I'm Kelly Elbert, along with Bob Bopka. Robert, we'll begin the giving with a member of basketball royalty, John Berry, one of three sons of Hall of Famer Rick Berry, who's getting ready to tee it up in a new team event that brings together some very popular sports figures next week in the inaugural Pro Cup at Innisbrook Resort in Florida. Bob, you and I talked with John yesterday. Good guy, highly competitive guy, loves the game of golf, and he is pumped for this Pro Cup next week at Innisbrook.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very exciting event. And before we go any further, Kelly, we'd be very remiss to our listeners of Musings on Golf if we didn't bring up the name Lou Conosecca, who passed away over the weekend, 99 years old. He was a living legend, dominated college basketball at St. John's, well known for those sweaters. I'd love to get Kelly one of those sweaters for Christmas if I could. Lou Conosecca, thank you for everything you did for college basketball.
A great coach, one of the great characters, if you will, Bob, among the many great coaches in that Big East conference period that really was so essential to the growth of college basketball, right? And Coach Conosecca at St. John's, I mean, the players that came out of there, the dramatic games he was involved in, what a great long life, right? And not only a great coach, Bob, but just the outpouring of affection for him. Very beloved coach.
Yeah, everybody that would get within 6 feet of Lou would think that they got a new best friend. He was just that type of guy, very open, very modest, and very accomplished.
Yeah, and I think those are all very admirable traits. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought Coach Conosecca up. A life extremely well-lived, and he will be missed. Really enjoyed, like I said, really enjoyed talking to Rick Berry. Really enjoyed talking with John Berry. Knew some of him through his work with ESPN Radio, obviously played in the NBA for about 14 years. Scratch golfer, Bob, and he's ready to go. This is I kind of view this Pro Cup as the team version of that very successful American Century Championship that's played each summer out in Lake Tahoe. It brings together players from the four major sports in the United States, baseball, football, basketball, and hockey. And just the captains alone, in addition to John Berry, you've got Jerome Bettis captaining the football team. You've got Jeremy Roenick, recent Hall of Fame inductee, captaining the hockey team. And then on the baseball side, you've got Hall of Famer John Smoltz. This is a pretty star-studded event, kind of a Ryder Cup format. I'm like you. I'm excited to see it and learn more about it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great thing for the fans. And, you know, that's what it's all about. Make it great for the fans. That makes it great for golf.
Yeah, and you look at just some of the names. In addition, I mentioned Tim Brown, Dwight Freeney, Patrick Peterson, Joe Carter, Kevin Millar, Josh Donaldson, Danny Ainge, Tony Kukoc, Ray Allen, Brett Hull. Tickets are on sale. It's a great opportunity to get up close and personal with some very well-known guys, both current players and retired players. Bob, before we get to that, what's really kind of been the saga of Tiger Woods, the Hero World Challenge, his event this week in the Bahamas, he will not be playing. And we'll hear from a comment from him in a second. I'm kind of wondering what your thoughts on where he is now. It was not the most upbeat of Tiger Woods' assessment of himself and frankly, his future as a competitive player.
Well, he's been the miracle man for I don't know how long, and I don't know how many times you can keep pulling miracles out of the hat. But Tiger never, ever has to do another single thing to be regarded as one of the greatest things, if not the greatest thing that ever happened to golf.
Yeah, so as we record this on Wednesday, December 4th, let's have a listen to what Tiger had to say yesterday on Tuesday, December 3rd, in regards to his health and trying to move forward.
I didn't think my back was going to go like it did this year. It was quite painful throughout the end of the year, and hence had another procedure done to it to alleviate the pain I had going down my leg. And so what are my commitments going forward? Is it once a month? Yeah, I could say that all over again, but I truly don't know. I'm just trying to rehab and still get stronger and better and feel better and really give myself the best chance I can going to next year. You know, this year was kind of had to toss it away, and I wasn't as sharp as I needed to be and didn't play as much as I needed to going to the major championships, and I didn't play well at them. So hopefully next year I'll be better. I'll be physically stronger and better. I know the procedure helped, and hopefully that I can then build upon that. I'm not tournament sharp yet. No, I'm still not there. And these are 20 of the best players in the world, and I'm not sharp enough to compete against them at this level. So when I'm ready to compete and play at this level, then I will.
In the short term, I know he really wants to play with his son Charlie in the PNC Championship later this month. And I hope he does and is able to be, you know, some form of Tiger Woods. But he continues to be very, very candid, the most candid I've seen of him, forthright, and I think realistic about the future for him. I agree with you, Bob. He doesn't need to hit another shot. And I do wonder also, at what point is the point with trying to go forward for him? I'm sure a lot of thoughts have crossed his mind.
Well, Kelly, I think you know this perhaps as well as anybody. One of the toughest things for a superior athlete to do is to walk away from the sport that they once dominated, had it come easy to them. I mean, Tiger, at his peak, we were accusing him of being able to play in his sleep, and now not being able to play and come to the self-recognition of that factor. I think it's a huge step forward for Tiger. Whether we get to see him in another competitive round, that remains to be seen. Our blessings from Musings on Golf out to Tiger and his crew. Tiger, the only message Musings has for you, you take care of yourself first. We'll worry about golf later.
Yeah, beautifully said. You've known him a long, long time. A couple of housekeeping things, if you will, before we get to the interview with John Barry. I had a great time with my daughter for Thanksgiving in Detroit. Megan was born outside of Detroit. And Bob, I got to tell you something. It was really interesting. When I lived there back in the 90s, downtown Detroit was not exactly the most desirable place to be. But, man, times have changed in a very good way. Yeah, it was cold, but there's so much pride that city has, the parade that they had. Mike Tirico, who's a friend of ours, was the grand marshal. A lot of fun. And the Lions, I went to a bar afterward, watched the Lions play and held on to beat a Chicago team with a coach who finally got let go in Matt Eberflus. But just a really special day and time for me in Detroit. I know you had a very special Thanksgiving as well.
Yeah, but first I want to acknowledge that I was so thrilled that you got to spend time with your daughter. I know how close family is to you. I know your father, the past president of the PGA of America, was the leader of that family. You're carrying on that tradition very well. I also had a great Thanksgiving. My son Lane and his wife Kim came to Texas with my two grandchildren, Truman and Renly. And we had a blast. My 8-year-old grandson, Truman, loves to cook already. He actually cooked the turkey for us. He smoked it on a smoker. Best turkey I ever had. I get to talk to the best turkey in Kelly Elvin. And on Thanksgiving, I got to eat the best turkey.
Bob, you have an 8-year-old chef. That's incredible.
He loves it.
How great is That is absolutely fabulous. John Barry on deck. Just a real quick tease before we go there, the legendary Nancy Lopez is going to be joining us next week, Bob, on Musings on Golf. And what a special transcendent figure she is in the world of sports.
Well, Kelly, we got a major problem that we're probably going to have to address before we get Nancy on. I'm fearful our microphones are going to melt. I mean, this is not only a very accomplished golfer, this is royalty. I mean, Nancy Lopez, are you kidding me? She is nothing but class, and she has been a friend for a long time. And I know people that follow Musings on Golf, and we thank each and every one of them and wish that every one of them had a very happy Thanksgiving. But that present of Nancy Lopez next week, I'm excited.
If number one will be the interview we did yesterday with John Barry that you'll hear in just a minute after these messages from our corporate partners at Musings on Golf. Our friends at William and Harry are always looking for ways to stand out in the crowd. So for anyone who belongs to a country club, William and Harry can have your shoes private labeled to fit your specific needs. The same applies to your company or any organization you might be affiliated with. This makes you a clear winner. Why? Well, you have a better quality shoe that feels great, and you have the logo of your club, company, or organization on your shoes that really makes you stand out on the golf course. To learn more, visit williamandharry.com today and be sure to input our promotional code 15OFF, M-O-G, for a 15% discount at williamandharry.com.
Titleist is the number one ball in golf. Yes, being number one is a number, and more players trust the Pro V1 or Pro V1X than all other golf balls combined. But being number one is more than a number. It's a mindset. It's a relentless mission to design and manufacture the best performing golf balls in the game, so you can chase whatever your number one is. Titleist, the number one ball in golf.
Bob, next week on the Copperhead Course at Innisbrook Resort in Palm Harbor, Florida, the Pro Rivals Open, a new competitive series of golf events, will be launched with the playing of the Pro Cup, a Ryder Cup-style match play event featuring standouts from the four major team sports in the United States: football, baseball, hockey, and basketball. And joining us today is the captain of the 12-player basketball team, a member of Round Ball Royalty himself, John Barry. Welcome to Musings on Golf. You've got to be excited to tee it up in the Pro Cup next week, huh?
I can't believe we're less than a week away, and it's exciting. This has been a long time coming. Tom Etzel and his group have been working on this for a long time, and it's going to actually come to fruition next week. Course looks amazing. The weather's going to be great. And what better way to compete against other great athletes than on the golf course? Nothing better.
Well, we're certainly happy and excited to have John Barry with us on Musings on Golf. John, before we get started, I have to share this story with a contemporary of yours, somebody you hold in high regard, by the name of Marv Albert. I was in the Air Force and went in the Armed Forces Radio. And while I was there, a radio station opened on the end of Long Island, the very end of Long Island, small little radio station. And I got out in June, and they were doing a high school football game in September, and I couldn't hold back any longer. I wanted to go see what this local operation was all about. So I go over, I find the mobile studio, and there's a skinny little kid there getting ready to do the play-by-play. And I asked him, I said, "You're going to do the play-by-play?" He said, "I am." I said, "I'll tell you what, I'm from the area. I can write things down on this legal pad. I can make you sound real good." He said, All right, let's give it a try. So after the game, he says, can you come back next week? And I said, sure. And the following week, sure. And then he gets drafted. So they're short a play-by-play man for this major sponsor. And they said to me, Bob, can you do play-by-play? I said, hell yeah, I can do play-by-play. I never did play-by-play, but I said I could do it. And so I took over doing the play-by-play. You know who I took over for was Marv Albert.
Wow. That's something that, that's something, a feather in your cap for sure, huh? You got, you took Marv Albert's job.
Yeah. And I saw him quite a bit later, and I said, hey, Marv, something wrong with this picture. I took over for you. I'm still battling with these local radio stations, and you're at the top of the world. He always got a kick out of that.
That's great.
But he was good in his day. I mean,
fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Voice of the NBA for a long time.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
John, I know you've done a lot of broadcasting through the years, and you mentioned somebody like Marv Albert. It's really, in our lifetime, John, I'm 63. It's been really, I think, the golden age of announcers when you look at the Al Michaels and Jim Nances, and certainly putting Marv in there. It's really been an incredible media experience for those who've lived, you know, the last 50, 60 years.
The guys are incredible. And, you know, obviously being able to work with some of these greats, you see how much time they put in and how hard that job is. People think it's, just show up and call what you see. These guys know their stuff, you know, frontwards and backwards. They know everything. And, you know, before we came on, I told you about Mike Tirico, and there's just not a smarter sports mind than him. He could literally do a different sport every night of the week, and you'd have no idea that he just popped in. I mean, I'm talking anything. Tennis, hockey, basketball, but he can do it all. These guys really are tremendous, their craft. And the great ones make it real easy for the analysts. And they kind of play the dumb card, and they set you up with answers, you know, questions that they know the answers to. But they put it on a platter for you to make you look better. And all those guys we mentioned were guys that did that.
Hey, John, have you ever heard any of Johnny Most?
Oh, well, yeah, back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the one I remember is the despicable Bill Laimbeer when the big fight between the Celtics, he's like, what a despicable play. And smoking up in there in the garden. I mean, just classic.
Hey, John, this is the first of its kind in bringing together sports legends from the four major leagues. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, you know, there's celebrity events. Obviously, we know about Lake Tahoe, which is the premier event that's been going on forever, where you have a lot of entertainers and, you know, all different sports are represented. But this is us as as the NBA, the NFL, the NHL, and baseball as a team. And it's 12 on 12. It's matches. And it's an incredible idea that I think is just going to grow. This is not just a one-time thing. This is going to be year after year. It's going to grow. People are going to want to be a part of this because, I mean, again, what better way to compete against peers and other athletes than to be on the golf course? Look, I don't have to tackle Jerome Bettis while we play golf. I don't have to hit a 92-mile-an-hour slider from John Smoltz. Right. And Jeremy Roenick is not putting me up against the boards. But I can play golf, and look, I was an average to below average NBA player, depending on what family member you ask. But that doesn't matter now because I'm out on the golf course and I can golf my ball. So I feel comfortable. I'm a scratch player. I play all the time and I'll be able to compete. And that's what really makes it great to play against these other great athletes in their sports. And look, we got a lot of good players down there. I think people that get a chance to see this are going to see a lot of quality golf.
Yeah. Hey, John, you mentioned John Smoltz, Jerome Bettis, and Jeremy Roenick, the captains respectively of the three other teams. And you've got some real stars on your team. You've got Danny Ainge, you've got Ray Allen, you got Tony Kukoc as well. This is from a spectator standpoint, if nothing else, John, there's a lot of named players that people are going to be able to see over those few days at Innsbruck.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, I think it's just the best venue. What if Tony Kukoc was your favorite Chicago Bull during their run? that you can come out and walk with him for 4.5, 5 hours, yeah, being 10 feet from him at times, and get a chance to see him, you know, not doing what he was doing. And look, we're going to compete, there's no doubt about it, but it's going to be fun. You know, we're going to shake hands, and you can have your kids come out and say hello and blah, blah, blah. It's a perfect event to bring in. Like you said, there's a lot of big name guys in all the sports, and it's only going to grow. I think we're going to get bigger people as this goes on.
You know, John, I got to apologize for this and to Kelly, but I have to capitalize on a personal question. You're the best foul shooter that I've ever had the pleasure of talking to in person. And I'm still trying to get rid of this ugly scar that I have. And it resulted in my senior year in high school, John. Coach said, "You have to come down at lunchtime. We're playing our key rival tonight, and I want you to shoot 25 foul shots."
Yeah.
So I go down there at lunch. I start shooting, make the first 5, first 10, first 15, first 20, first 25, first 30, first 35, first 40, first 45, first 50, 57.
What?
Before I miss.
You ain't, wait a minute. You made 57 straight?
57 straight.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah, but that's the good part. The bad part is that night in that big rivalry game, I got to go to the foul line 12 times, and I never made one.
Right.
Yeah, you got to do it when the popcorn's popping, Bob. I mean, you can't be Ranger Rick. Hey, you can't be Ranger Rick, man. I see a lot of guys on the driving range could smoke it. And then when you get out in between the lines, it's got to happen.
You got to pop while the popcorn's popping.
Yep.
That is awesome.
I love it.
Hey, we're delighted to be joined by John Berry, captain of the basketball team that will be competing next week in the inaugural The Pro Cup at Innisbrook Resort in Palm Harbor, Florida. John, you mentioned, based on how your brothers, how they viewed your playing abilities, you grew up in as rich a basketball family as one could, with your dad, Rick, your brothers all playing at high levels. Just as a kid, if nothing else, what was it like growing up in that atmosphere as a young kid? Was it basketball from the get-go for you and your brothers?
Yeah, it was pretty much everything. I mean, the competitiveness was over the top. I think we can look back and say now, as it was, you know, four boys, so it was always 2-on-2, whether it be basketball or checkers or backgammon or pickle or whatever we were playing. Man, we had a little basketball court at our home, and on the right side, about 8 feet to the right of the basket, was our air conditioning unit. So we learned to go left, because if you went right, you're getting shoved into that AC unit, and it was no fun. And basically the games ended when somebody couldn't continue, whether it be too much blood or an injury or whatever. That's when games ended. That was great for us to, you know, become competitive and all that. Maybe it was a little over the top at times, but yeah, we just gravitated towards basketball. I mean, you know, it's great when your dad plays and you get a chance to go to practice and you go to shoot arounds and you get to be a ball boy, and you just see that. And that's just something you're going to gravitate to. And that doesn't mean you're going to make it. You know, we all put in a lot of hard work. I mean, we had three of us in the NBA at the same time at one point in the mid-90s. I think that's pretty extraordinary. You don't really think about it when you're doing it. You look back and say, you know, we were three of 400 guys in the world that were in the NBA. That's pretty unbelievable. And but the competitiveness, I think, was a great thing that we learned, and maybe over the top at times, like I said, but we're all cool about it now. We get along great, and we've made some pretty good paths for ourselves, thankfully.
Hey, John, how scientific was your dad's method of shooting foul shots, that underhand?
Yeah, well, he learned from his my grandfather, his dad, and it makes sense. It's softer when it gets up on the rim. All you got to do is get it up over that front rim. He obviously tried to get all of us to do it, and I passed. You know, you're trying to get out of his shadow. I'm trying to make my own way. I mean, I shot 85, I think, in the pros, so that was good enough for me. I didn't need to go any higher than that. But it certainly made sense, and I think it would make sense for a lot of guys that shoot around 50% in the NBA. If I was shooting 50%, I can assure you that I would try it. But guys, it's an ego thing, I think, for a lot of guys that didn't want to do it. But you know, my dad used to always say, "You're giving away free points. You know, why get up there and miss and make 50%?" I mean, imagine if Shaq tried it, how many more points this guy would have had in his career.
Hey, John, you scored between regular season and postseason more than 5,000 points in your NBA career. And I know that, what was it, game five, first round of the 2002 playoffs, when you're with Detroit, the win over Toronto had to be the highlight of your career, wasn't it?
Well, all playoff games were unbelievable. Yeah, I think I had a pretty good game. You know, like I wasn't obviously I was came off the bench and I provided energy and I didn't get many open shots. I wasn't a creator, one-on-one type player. If people left me open, I got shots. You know, so just knock them down when you get ready. But the playoffs, man, that was just the ultimate high, and I got a chance to play in a lot of playoff games. And there's a lot that I remember playing the Lakers when I was with the Kings was some highlights too, but all those playoffs, man, there's just nothing better than NBA playoff basketball.
What'd you do? You hit a bunch of three pointers in that game, right? In that game, that deciding game five against Toronto, I believe, right?
I might have. I don't recall. I just know we won whatever it takes to win. But
Yeah.
yeah, Detroit, we kind of set them up. I left right before the year they won the championship, so that was a bit disappointing. We kind of got that team on the right track, and then I didn't get a chance to get the finish for that ring, but good times in Detroit.
John, can you talk a little bit about I don't know, the difference between broadcasting and playing the game?
It was funny. The first time I did a game, I honestly sat there and I watched the athleticism, the size, the ability of all these guys, and said, "How in the world was I out there?" Because at that point, I was already out of shape, right? I didn't do anything that whole summer and came back for the next year as a broadcaster. And I just watched, and it really is amazing. I mean, people, obviously, they know they're great athletes, but when you sit right there and watch, it's incredible what some of these guys are able to do. And so I was really like, I can't believe that I stayed on the floor for 14 years somehow. I guess I had naked pictures or something that kept me around.
Can you ship me a couple of those?
Ah,
I need some job security.
it's a good way to keep job security, that's for sure.
John, how'd you get started playing golf?
Well, I learned when I was 5 years old. I remember getting a lesson. My dad was a member of a club at Round Hill out in California, in Alamo, California. So got with a guy before I ever remember ever hitting a ball. I got with the pro there, Greg LaMonica. I remember his name. Don't know if he's still there. But just got lessons. And it's funny because when I play with new people, I keep my head down. Like that was the first thing that gentleman told me was keep your head down. So like I just really keep my head down. And I think a little bit too long, but that's what everybody says to me is like, "God, how do you keep your head so still? Your head's so down." I'm like, first thing I learned, and maybe that's the only thing that I've learned that I've continued to do. But I got lessons at 5 or 6, and then, just putzed around, played a little bit here and there, and then really didn't play till after college. When you get in the NBA and you don't make the playoffs, you got a real long off season. I mean, it's 6.5 months. So, when you're 22 years old and I'm in good shape, you can't play basketball and work out all day. So I kind of picked it up then. I got a chance to go see Rick Smith up at Treetops.
Sure.
I spent some days with him. That was incredible. I've had a chance. I saw Jim Fleck for a Flick for a minute. And then through the years, just different guys. But just have a real passion for it because, and I think you see it with athletes that retire. It's the ultimate competitive sport. Can't be mastered, and you can always get better. You never have a perfect round. And it's just, it keeps that competitive juice flowing for all these guys. And I love it. I'll go hit balls. I love hitting balls. And I love the camaraderie of being out with, we play five guys. I'm out at Sherwood in LA now, always a fivesome, and play wolf games. And it's just, it's the best. And then going in the clubhouse and talking smack and do it again the next day. It's great.
What's the strength of your game? What's the one area of your game where you got to tighten it up a little bit, particularly with this, with the Pro Cup coming up?
Yeah. You know, my game just kind of, I've had it together a couple of times for an extended period where everything's been good. I would say that you ask guys to play with me, they think that I'm a really good long iron player. My iron, I switched irons. I'd always been TaylorMade. I switched to Srixon irons that have been tremendous. So I would say my irons, I used to drive the ball really well. That kind of comes and goes. You know, I've always been a good putter. So, you know, I would say the drive, you know, and driving, I think, is the most important thing. It just sets up everything. I understand you got to putt good. You got to make putts, but man, if you're fighting it off the tee, I think it sets up the whole day. So, just try to drive it better. And that's about it.
You play a lot of golf with your brothers and your dad?
I played in my dad's member guest at the Broadmoor in Colorado Springs. I don't know how long ago it was, but that was the last time I played with him. That was a bad idea. Him and I getting into a competitive match in a member guest, because he was awful, just awful. I mean, I don't think he made a par for me. He was playing as like an 8 or 10, and I don't think he made a par in any match. So that didn't go over too well. My other brothers play sparingly. Brent, who played 14 years in the league, he'll play, I don't know, a dozen times a year, and he'll shoot 82 and be upset. And I'm like, Brent, there's guys that play their whole lives that don't shoot 82. You play, right? Am I right? I mean, he plays 10 or 12 times, he shoots 82. I'm like, lower your expectation. You know, like, you have your expectations are too low. Like, just have fun. 82. I mean, that's pretty good.
Hey, John, I got to go back to that with your dad at the Broadmoor. So,
oh God, please don't.
I have to. I mean, you strike me as a extremely competitive guy. Your dad couldn't be any more competitive.
Yes.
Right. So that there was, how did the father son dynamic, when one of them's not playing well, isn't it supposed to be, hey buddy, hang in there? Sound like there was a lot of that.
Maybe in your family,
right?
Not mine. I was like, I mean, it was brutal. Like, I mean, and you know, you get in a match, and member guests are the best, right? And you're already up against guys that are so-called 8 handicaps that happen to shoot 74. Hey, it was the best day of my life. So you're dealing with that. And then you're dealing with your partner who's getting some pops who never helped. It was rough. And I don't know if you've been to the Broadmoor, but those are maybe the fastest greens that I think I've ever played on. I mean, they are, if you're in between the mountain and the pin going away, like it was crazy. I mean, they had to be running 14. So the putting was, it was a comedy of errors. And all in all, I'm making a little more of it, but it was fun, but it did not go well for Team Barry.
Hey, John, how have you been preparing for the Pro Cup, especially with it being a match play format?
Well, I've come out to Atlanta. I'm out in L.A. now, and I wanted to come to Atlanta here for the week before to kind of get used to the grasses out here. I'm sure we're bent grass greens down there. Get a little feel for that, but nothing really. I mean, you know, on a daily basis, we're always playing Nassau's and Wolf games, and everything's competitive. You know, I don't think I've ever played golf without playing for something. So my being the captain, my big concern is trying to get the best team we can. We've got some higher handicaps kind of at the bottom end. And I think I have, you know, six guys that are right around scratch. So we pair those up with the bottom six, and I just want to make the best teams we can. And I think it's going to be competitive. I really like our team. We got some really, really good players, and we'll see how it shakes out.
I just wanted to ask John, what his role is going to be, his main role going to be as captain.
Yeah, well, putting the teams together, and look, I'm not going to sit up there and tell everybody what they're going to do. It's going to be a team effort, and if guys feel comfortable playing with guys, and that's going to work out, great. I want everybody's input. We want guys that maybe have played together before. I'm sure there's going to be a little bit of that. But guys that complement each other's games, because it's a little different format where we have a two-man scramble the first day and then a two-man shamble the next day, and then individual. So obviously individual doesn't matter, but those other two formats, if I can get guys that are really good drivers of the golf ball and then guys that are good iron players, I want to pair those guys up. I don't need two guys that can't really hit irons. That's not going to do any good. So kind of mix match guys' strengths. And obviously I don't know all the guys. I play with a fair amount of them, so I'm going to get down there and watch at the practice round and see who complements each other the best, and see if we can put together a team that could be competitive, because these other guys are stacked. I mean, baseball has got a bunch of great players, hockey as well. Football's got some good ones too. So we want to be at our best and have a very competitive team, and hopefully take home the first Pro Cup.
I'm wondering, John, does the basketball move, you mentioned about the move of a hockey player, the pitching motion, is that an inherent advantage to those sports versus basketball players? It's different when it comes to golf. It seems to line up more for a baseball pitcher and a batter and a hockey player.
Yeah, I think, hitting a baseball, obviously there's a lot of similarities. And then a slap shot is basically a golf shot. So
Yeah.
that's why you see a lot of hockey players that can really play. I play with a ton of them over the years. So they're going to be very, very difficult. But yeah, I don't think anything really correlates in basketball. I mean, obviously hand eye, and we're all athletes, that you kind of figure it out, but I don't think there's any correlation. And I think the taller you are, I don't think that's an advantage. Obviously, maybe you're going to be able to hit the ball further with driver or something, but you don't see a lot of really, really tall PGA Tour players. I mean, I think Phil Blackmore might have been the tallest at 6'6".
Is
Al
that right?
Guyberger was big. But, guys typically now 6'3". I've seen Dustin Johnson out at Sherwood, 6'3", 6'4", whatever. He seems to be one of the bigger guys. But I don't think there's any correlation in that. It's just about practicing and getting good.
We were getting close to the buzzer with John Barry, one of the captains of the inaugural Pro Cup teams, as we preview that event here on Musings on Golf. By the way, the ProRivalsOpen.com is where you can go to secure tickets for what really will be a most enjoyable and fun and highly competitive few days of golf. Hey, John, I kind of go back to just a general comment, something you touched on earlier about the game itself. What is golf meant to you in your life? There's so many facets to it. You seem to have touched on a few of them earlier.
Yeah, again, it's about just being with people. I mean, I met so many people playing in celebrity events throughout the country, and just meeting unbelievable people. I just played in Jason Day's tournament a couple of months ago up at Double Eagle up in Ohio, owned by the Columbus Blue Jacket owner. And I think they have like 35 members. It's like really,
Exclusive, yeah.
it's a cool
Really
place. It's
exclusive, yeah.
beautiful, really exclusive. Anyway, Jason Day couldn't be nicer. One of my favorite guys. Got a chance to meet him years ago, and played with him actually down in Palm Springs, at the Quarry, that he never saw the course and was just screwing around, shot 64 with a double. But other than that, but just like getting a chance to do that. I mean, I playing with professional players like that, that's my favorite thing, just to get a chance to go out and see how they do it. And just watch them. I love that. But I love celebrity events. And I can't tell you how many relationships I've built over the years of playing in a celebrity event, write down their numbers, write down where they are, and get in touch. And maybe they come to LA, I'll bring them out to Sherwood, or I meet where they are. I met at Jason Day's tournament, I met some guys from Chicago that were the best. Tuna was the guy's name. Tuna. I'm giving Tuna a plug because he's my guy. But they're like, so they're at Chicago Golf Club, they're at Medina, and it's like they're like, come up. They said, get on my plane and fly with us after the tournament and come up and play tomorrow. I mean, that's how great of guys they were. And people are doing it for charity. We've raised so much money for charity, And I used to play in the Chick-fil-A golf tournament here in Atlanta. And I think over the years, I played with Paul Johnson, our football coach at the time. And I believe we won 4 times in 9 years and raised over $600,000 in scholarship for Georgia Tech, where I went to school. So golf does so much good. It really does. And that charity aspect of it and getting to meet new people and the competitiveness of it, there's nothing better. And that's all I do now that I don't work. And I am fortunate enough to be able to go do this. I look forward to it every single day.
So are you a member of Sherwood?
I am. Yes.
I got a classic story about Sherwood. We used to cover Tigers tournament.
Sure. The Zozo.
Yeah, and we were down. I was down on the first tee. I forget who I was talking to, but the guy says to me, "You see that big house up there?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "That belongs to
Wayne Gretzky,
Vince Scully."
Oh, Vince. Oh, Vin. Yeah, Vin lived in the area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, "Wow, that's a nice house." He says, "Yeah, look at that house next to it." And it was one about twice the size. And he says, "You know who lives there?" And I said, "No." He said, "Jenna."
Jenna.
I said, "You're telling
me. I don't know who that is. Bob, I have no idea who you're talking about."
Right, I know that. You've heard about her, right?
Rick, I heard something about her, yeah.
Right.
So I said, "Vince Scully has to drive home every night and pull into the driveway next to Jameson."
Oh, that's classic.
That's a classic.
That is. Oh, that
yeah,
is.
There's
a classic.
A lot of good guys there. Wayne Gretzky was there. He sold lately, or in a little couple of months ago. But yeah, it's a great place if you've never been. So you guys are always welcome.
Oh man.
Thank you. Hey, John, you've been great with your time. Final one for me. It's a question we ask all of our guests, and that is, if you could round out a dream foursome, John, of three other players, whether they're living or deceased, who would those three be, and where would you play kind of that magical round of golf?
Man, that's really tough. I'd have to play with Jack Nicklaus. Hmm. I'd have to play with Tiger. Hmm. I'm playing at Augusta, by the way. That's where I'd be. I played there once. I've had one. And it was just the best. There's nothing better than Augusta playing that golf course. So I'd go Jack, Tiger, and Jenna Jameson.
Good answer.
It's awesome. Real quick, I've had speaking of Augusta National, a good buddy of mine played there once. He said, "Kelly, when I stood on the first tee, he said, I basically started crying. I was just overcome." What was it like for John Barry, who's been and done a lot of stuff in sports, to be on the first tee at the Augusta National Golf Club?
Kind of the same. You know, I was walking on eggshells, like I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
And John Harris was our host, who I thought was going to be the guy. Like, I think he's about second in charge, and they all thought he was going to be the guy. But so I didn't know him. I had not met him. And obviously hit balls, and then you walk through. And when you come through the pro shop and you see what it looks like, it's just, there's nothing like it. It's the most incredible place I've ever seen in my life. And I've been to some cool places, and then he comes out on a golf cart convertible and, "Hey, let's go hit." And he hits and he drives down the front. I'm like, wow, okay, now I'm good. This is going to be like a regular day. And it really was. Couldn't have been a better guy. And he's driving in his cart. And I played it in December. It was chilly, not a lot of roll. And I was happy that we played the tournament tees, and I fired a 78. So wow. I wasn't too upset with that for the first time. But as you play, like, you think about positions you are in. Man, I remember when Larry Mize chipped in from right here. I remember this shot here. You know, and you just remember all that stuff. And it's the coolest place, literally, that I've ever been.
It's Johnny Harris, the president at Quail Hollow, where the PGA Championship is going to be, right?
Correct. Yeah, he owns basically all of Charlotte, is what I've heard. But awesome guy, and I played with the late Tim Wakefield. Timmy was awesome, awesome guy. I felt terrible about what happened, but what a great guy, and I got to experience that with him. So that makes me feel pretty special that I was with him on that trip.
You ever hear the name Ty Tryon?
Sure. The
All
16-year-old
right,
Wonder Boy.
Yeah. Well, he shows up at Charlotte to play in the event, and they asked for his driver's license, and they said, sorry, you're too young to get one of our courtesy cars. So he's confused. He didn't know what was going to happen. And all of a sudden, John Harris walks by. John said, what's the problem here? Well, Mr. Harris, Ty's not old enough to get one of our courtesy cars. John says he won't need one. He's going to use my Bentley this week. Ty Tryon didn't get a courtesy car, but he got Harris's Bentley.
Bob's got some stories, man. I'd like to sit down and have a beer with you.
Oh, no like question that, about it.
A six-pack.
Oh, well, yeah, it depends what we got going.
Yeah.
Hey, John, this has been absolutely great. Again, the ProRivalsOpen.com for tickets. John, so happy that you've been part of this. The Pro Cup, it really is, as we touched on at the top, it's a unique format, unique to bring the four sports together. Pretty exciting stuff coming up next week.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I couldn't be more excited, and it's going to be an awesome week down at Innsbruck, and just going to grow and grow and be even better year after year.
I can't wait to go shoot a foul shot. I know I got to be better.
We'll put up a hoop if you get down there. We'll shoot.
All right. Thanks, John.
John, that was awesome. Thank you so much. Just like you, I want to look good and perform at my best on the golf course. And that's exactly why I wear the new WH golf shoes from William & Harry, and you should too. Folks, I love these golf shoes. They're made of deer skin and calf skin. They've got a soft gel insert, and the reinforced hardened soft spikes increase stability and balance. And I got to tell you, they are so incredibly comfortable. So head on over to williamandharry.com to check out the new WH golf shoe. Look your best, play your best with William and Harry.
You flew the trap on 6. You birdied 12 and 13. You closed out the match 4-3. From your numbers to your windows, everything was dialed. That was yesterday. Outperform your best. Titleist, the number one ball in golf.
Bob, really, it was a lot of fun spending time with John Barry and the Pro Cup. I think it has a chance to be very successful. Not only the event that's going to be held next week at Innisbrook, but they're going to have a series of sports-specific tournaments, hockey, football, baseball, and basketball into 2025. Wishing John personally and the whole event very, very well.
Yeah, more golf for the fans. That's the cry of Musings on Golf. That's what we try and do. And occasionally we do get to bring some royalty, like we're going to do next week with Nancy Lopez.
Absolutely. We thank John Barry very, very much and wish them all the best. Before we went to the interview, Bob, we talked a little bit about the current Tiger Woods and the maladies that have really been the big part of the last 5-10 years with him, the injuries and so forth and so on. But at his peak, there was no golfer really like him. I guess it's debatable who was the better player, Jack or Arnold, but the dynamic quality that Tiger brought to the game. Is there a moment or two for you of watching Tiger Woods, a specific shot that he hit or tournament that he played that stands out, that comes to mind right away?
Well, the thing that comes to mind with Tiger, we were really pretty close friends. I had covered all 15 of his majors, and one tournament that comes to mind is the one that was out at Sherwood. We used to cover that, and one year I couldn't make it. I was back in New York. I was in the hospital, but for a routine examination. Janice Self, our executive producer, went to Sherwood, and lo and behold, she sees Tiger, and Tiger says, where's Bob? And Janice says, oh, he couldn't make it this year. Tiger, he's in the hospital, but it's a routine examination, and he's doing fine. Tiger said, get him on the phone. So I'm laying in the hospital in New York. Phone rings. I say, hello. He says, how you doing, man? I said, who's this? He says, how you doing, man? I said, who the hell is this? He says, Bob, it's Tiger. I said, Tiger? Golly, you trying to give me a heart attack? And so I hang up. I say to the nurse that was taking care of me, you're not going to believe that, but that was Tiger Woods on the phone seeing how I'm feeling. She immediately leaves the room without saying a word. In comes this doctor. Bob, the nurse thinks you might be delusional. We got to check you over. So that's my favorite Tiger moment, that he would take time out to call me in the hospital.
Yeah, there's a side to him. You know, I sat next to him when I was with the PGA of America and moderated press conferences during the PGA Championship and then the Ryder Cup when it was played in the U.S. And I always admired just his ability to answer every question. Now, whether he said a whole lot is debatable. But sometimes we take for granted what we're watching. I mean, you and I have gotten to watch in Jack and Tiger, easily, Bob, easily the two greatest players ever to play the game. And we both had the chance to see so many great moments and shots from them in our lives. Pretty cool stuff.
It really is. And Tiger really is just a tribute to Jack Nicklaus and everything that Jack did for the game. Tiger continued that tradition, brought a great spotlight to the world of golf, and we can't thank him enough. We only can wish that he gets a speedy recovery from this operation, and with any hope, we may see him in April.
Speaking of spotlight again, look forward to having the great Nancy Lopez, upon which many spotlights were shown throughout her remarkable career, and as a representative ambassador of the game, Bob, no one is any better than Nancy Lopez. For my good buddy, the turkey himself, Bob Bupka, Kelly Elvin signing off. Thanks for joining us here on Musings on Golf.